Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 13, text 19. Iti
iti
kshetram
kshetram
tata
gyanam
gyanam
gyayam
gyayam
choktam
choktam
samasatah
samasatah
madbhakta
madbhakta
etad
etad
vidyaya
vidyaya
madbhava
madbhava
madbhavaya
madbhavaya
apapadyate
apapadyate
Iti kshetram tatha gyanam
Iti kshetram tatha gyanam
Gyayam choktam samasataha
Gyayam choktam samasataha
Madbhakta etad vigyaya
Madbhakta etad vigyaya
Madbhavayo papadyate
Madbhavayo papadyate
Iti
Iti
Thus
Thus
Kshetram,
Kshetram,
the field of activities.
The field of activities.
The body.
The body.
Tata,
Tata,
also.
Also.
Gyanam,
Gyanam,
knowledge.
Knowledge.
Gyayam,
Gyayam,
the knowable.
Knowable.
Cha,
Cha,
also.
Also.
Uktam,
Uktam,
described.
Described.
Samasataha,
Samasataha,
in summary.
In summary.
Madhaktaha,
Madhaktaha,
my devotee.
My devotee.
Etat,
Etat,
all this.
All this.
Vigyaya,
Vigyaya,
after understanding.
After understanding.
Matbhavaya,
Matbhavaya,
to my nature.
To my nature.
Upapadyate,
Upapadyate,
attains.
Attains.
Translation. The field of activities, the body, knowledge, and the knowable have been summarily described by me. Only my devotees can understand this thoroughly and thus attain to my nature. Purport. The Lord has described in summary the body, knowledge, and the knowable. The knowledge is of three things, the knower, the knowable, and the process of knowing. Combined, these are called vigyan, or the science of knowledge. Perfect knowledge can be understood by the unalloyed devotees of the Lord directly. Others are unable to understand. The monists say that at the ultimate stage, these three items become one, but the devotees do not accept this. Knowledge and development of knowledge mean understanding oneself in Krishna consciousness. We are being led by material consciousness, but as soon as we transfer all consciousness to Krishna's activities and realize that Krishna is everything, then we attain real knowledge. In other words, knowledge is nothing but the preliminary stage of understanding devotional service perfectly. In the 15th chapter, this will be very clearly explained. Iti kshetram tata gyanam. Here's something a little higher. Put this on top of it. Gyayam choktam samasataha. Madbhakta. Etad vigyaya. Madbhavayopapadyate.
Is that too high?
No, not too high.
Okay.
Yeah? Yeah.
That's okay.
And Srila Prabhupada explains that in the first six chapters, the Lord especially explains karma yoga. In the last six chapters, jnana yoga. And in the middle six chapters, bhakti yoga. Actually, bhakti yoga is the point in all of the chapters, but it's especially focused upon in the middle six. So it's like a sandwich, you know, the bread on both sides and the substance is in the middle. Like a book, you have the covers and you have the text in the middle. So the Bhakti Yoga system is especially in the middle six chapters, but every chapter is informed by and pointing toward Bhakti Yoga. Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga are portions of Bhakti Yoga. So the Jnana is here. Chetrag Chetrag Niyor Jnanam Yattach Jnanam Matanam. To understand, the first thing in knowledge is to understand the field of activities and the knower of the field of activities. Srila Prabhupada says, now to summarize, one may understand that verses 6 and 7, beginning from Mahabhutani and continuing through Chaitana Jutihi, analyze the material elements and certain manifestations of the symptoms of life. These combine to form the body or the field of activities. Mahabhutani hankaro buddhira vyaktameva cha indriyani dushaikam cha panchachandriya gochara iccha dvesha sukham dukkham sanghatas chetana jitihi etat kshetram samasena savikaram dahita. These are the field with both its gross and subtle features. The Mahabhutani, the great, the gross elements, five great elements. Then ahankar, the false ego, buddhi, intelligence, avyakta, the unmanifested stage of the three modes of nature, indriyani, the shaikamcha, the 11 senses, including the mind, and panchachandriya gochara, the objects of the senses. And ichcha, dvesha, sukham, dukkham, desire and hatred, happiness and distress, sankhatas, chetana, jubhi, sankhata means the aggregate of everything. Chetana. How is Prabhupada translate chetana here? Symptoms of life, chaitanya. And driti, determination. Etat kretram samasena. In summary, this is the field of activities, savikaram udharatam, along with its transformations. So in this way, we get the field of activity, basically gross and subtle. The body that we see and then the subtle body that we don't see. These constitute the field of activities. Then Srila Prabhupada says, these combine to form the body or the field of activities. And verses 8 through 12, from Amanitvam through Tattva Gyan Artha Darshan, describe the process of knowledge, for understanding both types of knower of the field of activities, namely the soul and the super soul. That starts with Amanit Vam Adambit Vam Hinsak Shanti Vargadam Vicharjo Pachanam Socham Tairam Atman Vinigraha Indriyar Taiteshu Vairagyam Anahankara Edacha Mithu Janma Mithu Jarabhi Adi Dukho Amidarshana Asangana Dishpish. What is that? Anadishpanga Putra Dara Biharishu. Nityam cha samachitta tvam nishta nishto bhaktishu mayi chananya yogena bhakti rabhya vicharani vivikta desha sevitvam adhikir jana samkhiri adhyatma jnana nitya tvam tattva jnana artha darshana etaj jnanam iti proktam jnanam yadatam vata. The different items for cultivating knowledge, or the different items that constitute knowledge. starting from amanitva, pridelessness or humility. Srila Prabhupada explains that humility is the beginning of knowledge. Without humility, there's no question of developing the proud. There's pride, arrogance, false prestige, the demonic qualities. How will we develop knowledge? We'll think we know everything. So amanitva, the receptive mood, the mood of being receptive to the sound vibration coming from the right source, is the beginning of knowledge. And knowledge, by knowledge we have to know kshetra kshetra gnayor jnanam, the field of activities, and two different kinds of knowers. The field has a knower. The Prabhupada mentions that Mayavadis think that knowledge, the knower, the object of knowledge, they all become one. Yeah, but no, they're eternally distinct. There's the object of knowledge, there's the knower, the process of knowing. They're eternally distinct. So the two kinds of knowers in the field of activities or the body are the individual soul, the individual knower of the body, and the super soul, the supreme knower. Just, I know about this apartment, if I'm the owner. I don't know about the next apartment. But the landlord knows about all the different apartments. So sarva kshetre dukkhami. Police or others, they know all about the different fields. So, or the landlord, he knows all about the field of activities. But I only know my one apartment, he knows all the apartments. I know my one body, but the Lord knows all the different bodies. Sarva kshetra ishu. Then, starting from verse 13 through 18, beginning from Anadi Mat Param and continuing through Priti Sarvasya Vishvitam, describe the soul and the supreme Lord or the super soul. Yeah. This is finally the object of knowledge, Gayam. Kshetra, Gyanam, and Gayam. What is it that we have to know? Well, that's described, that's the super soul. They say, know thyself, that's all right. But I also, knowing myself in truth means knowing the Supreme Self also. Just like if I wanted to know the, of course there are no hands in this watch, but if it had hands, I wanted to know the watch hands, I have to know the watch also. The hand has no meaning without its context in the greater entity, the watch itself. So the living being has no real existence separate from that of the Supreme Living Being, the Supreme Lord. So if we want to understand ourselves, if we want to understand who am I, why am I here, what is my purpose in life, I have to understand the Supreme Living Being of whom I'm a part. Now, if you want to understand the fingers, you have to understand the hand and the whole body. The fingers have no meaningful existence separate from the body. Not that you can say, well, it's a perfectly formed finger. It may be, but it's, you kick it down the street, it's worthless if it's disconnected from the body. So the living entity separated from Krishna has no meaning, and that's the situation in the material world, in Artha. Our life is meaningless when it's disconnected from the Supreme Truth. Life disconnected from truth means illusion. No. Illusory existence. So now I'm seeking pleasure, but it's in the existence of illusion. And I have to seek my relationship with the truth. And Krishna himself is that supreme truth. Therefore Krishna is to be known. Vidaischa sarvairaham eva vedya. Through all the Vedas, what we have to understand is Krishna. There's nothing other than Krishna to be understood. So three items have been described. The field of activity, which is the body, the process of understanding, knowledge, and both the soul and the super soul. It is especially described here that only the unalloyed devotees of the Supreme Lord can understand these three items clearly. So for these devotees, Bhagavad Gita is fully useful. It is they who can attain the supreme goal, the nature of the Supreme Lord. Krishna, in other words, the Supreme Lord Krishna, in other words, only devotees and not others can understand Bhagavad Gita and derive the desired result. And he said that in all the chapters, although there you may say karma yoga, dhyana yoga, but finally everywhere, it's consciousness of Krishna, devotional service, that's emphasized. So we find that here, Krishna says, yes, I've described the field, I've described the knowledge, I've described the object of knowledge, briefly, samasita. Now, who can understand it? Madhbhakta. Madhbhakta. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna says, Madhbhakta, my devotees will understand it. The karmis will never understand it. They may speculate, they may study it in college, but they'll never understand it. Understand it, maybe theoretically they'll have some understanding. But Madhbhakta eta vigyaya. My devotees actually realize what this is. Actually realize it. Theoretical knowledge, alright, but it's theoretical. Just like theoretical knowledge in business. What use is it? If you don't know how to apply it, if you don't have any realization, if you can't assimilate it and turn it into practical applied knowledge, what good is it? Knowledge in business. It's of no use. You may go to, you know, get an MBA or this or that, but if it's only theoretical knowledge, therefore it actually in business school, they don't just teach you book knowledge, they put you through different things to try to get you to train in applying that knowledge. Otherwise, even the person who's working, never goes to school, but he works in business with his father or something, and he gets very good business knowledge, because it's practical. I was in Vrindavan one time, and I went to a shop to buy a spoon. So the little boy was selling me the spoon. My father is watching how he's doing it. Yeah. How he's charging me, how he's taking money, what he put there. So he doesn't go to business school, but he gets very good practical knowledge of how to be a businessman, because he's properly trained. He's trained under the direction of his father. So he gets practical knowledge. So this knowledge here in Bhagavad Gita is not meant to be simply theoretical. It's meant to be realized. The jnana. There's jnana, theoretical knowledge, and vigyan, applied knowledge, assimilated knowledge, realized knowledge. So who will have that vigyan? Tad vigyan artam sa guru meva vigyan. The person who places himself under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master can get this knowledge. Otherwise, others can get theoretical knowledge. They can read books, they can talk about it, they can do something or other, but they won't get the real benefit of realized knowledge unless they come under proper direction. The Madhbhakta etad vigyaya. The devotee will actually realize what Krishna is saying by the grace of the Lord. Because he's not envious of the Lord. Anasuya, Krishna says, because you're not Gyanam Teham Sadvijnanam. Idam Bhaksham Sheshita. I'll personally speak to you this transcendental knowledge. Because you're non-envious. Because you're my devotee. Bhaktoti me sukha cheti rahasya yetarutamam. Therefore you can understand. Arjuna wasn't the greatest scholar, he wasn't the greatest yogi, he wasn't even a sannyasi. But you have all the knowledge. Why? Bhaktosi. You deserve to understand this knowledge. Bhaktosi, because you're my devotee and you're my friend. That means this science of Bhagavad Gita is meant exclusively for the devotees. Therefore, Prabhupada said, only my devotees can understand this thoroughly. Only my devotees can understand this thoroughly. Again. And what is the benefit of understanding? What will I get out of it? Madhavayopapajyate. The devotee will attain my nature. Madhava.
Madhava. Madhava means
my nature. Now Krishna is eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. We're also meant to be eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. But we're covered by this material illusion, by materialistic life. And therefore we don't understand what is what. But our actual position is not to be subject to birth and death, not to be subject to illusion. For the devotee, madhavanate. Madhava also means love for Krishna. The devotee attains love of Krishna by understanding Krishna. Vigyaya, after understanding Krishna, he becomes, what is that elsewhere? Krishna says, what is that? Understanding that Krishna is the real origin of everything, that everything comes from Krishna. The devotee is engaged in Krishna consciousness. Bhutta Bhava Samantha. We both love for Krishna. But by understanding, why are we reading all of these, this, you know, philosophy? This is not Leela, this is philosophy. There's a field, there's no field, there's 21 elements, the Sankhya philosophy. Why are we learning these things? Because by understanding Krishna scientifically, the result will be Madhavayo. One will develop love for Krishna. Our whole business is to develop love of Krishna. That love comes from hearing and chanting in the authorized parampara system. And that's being emphasized here. And by following this process, we can make our lives successful. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Some questions? One or two or three?
Chapter they say to understand in Bhagavad Gita.
Maybe. But if we study it patiently, here this purport is very important, actually. This Prabhupada gives like a roadmap to the what's gone through so far. Now this is 19. Krishna says, summarize the field, the knower of the field, knowledge, what is to be known. So that's all summarized here in this purport up to verse 18. All the verses so far are all summarized in this purport. And it's described further, this knowledge, what is knowledge, Prabhupada's dedicated a whole paragraph, a whole purport practically, in Isha Upanishad, to explaining further these different items of knowledge. Well, it may be a little difficult, but we should try to understand by hearing, by reading. There we go.
They have no freedom,
so they always act exactly according to the laws of nature.
Uh-huh.
The dog always acts like a dog, it never acts like a monkey or a parakeet.
Mm-hmm.
That's the law of nature.
But people say, 8,000, 400 million species of life, but that the human population is increasing. How will they say like that?
What's the difficulty?
Hmm?
Why is that a problem?
That we say only this much, a few millions of population going on, so many millions go all over the universe. More than the very conclusion there.
So why is it a problem?
Mm-hmm.
If the human beings are increasing?
Mm-hmm. And that's not a problem. The count is different.
How are they counting? They can't count at all. This is categories, not how many there are.
Oh, okay.
8,400,000 species, not categories, not numbers.
Mm-hmm.
8 million is nothing in the numbers thing.
Mm-hmm.
Those are categories.
Mm-hmm. They say, when you kill animals, you get the karma, you take the animal body, they have to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, thousands and thousands are killed. But the human population is increasing. How does it imagine? They say, thousands of chickens are killed, millions of chickens are killed. But still, human population is increasing. They say, if your treatment is correct, the human population will count down all other sprinters up to 1%. According to the calculation, or to our law of karma, if we kill any animals, we have to take their body and they have to take human body, they have to kill us, isn't it?
Yeah.
But so many thousands of animals and things that have killed and still human population is there.
By killing animals, you get yourself a human form of life.
Mm-hmm.
Killing animals, you get yourself a lower form of life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that. Yeah, it's not an exact switch. Now you've killed an animal.
Mm-hmm.
The animal has to come back. You have to come back.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, even then, it's an even switch.
Mm-hmm.
But our numbers, you can't see how many. How many ants are there in London?
Mm-hmm.
You can't count. Maybe in Harrow, how many there are. You can't count.
Mm-hmm.
How many bugs, how many viruses, how many. You can't count. And then there are so many universes also, full of living entities. So how can you count? What kind of count would you do? All the population should be increasing. You're just counting the human population. And only on this one planet. You're thinking like a frog in the well. It's small.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Something else?
Just one question. In terms of knowledge, in reading, etc., and chanting, you do develop that love, and there's all this fear a devotee has that, Maya is all so powerful that, God, I'll lose all this in one go. Constant fear of, that you have acquired the taste, you hanker for more, yet there's all this kind of obstacles coming in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you feel that the taste you have acquired is so sweet that you feel that maybe something will happen and I'll lose it all.
Could it feel like that? We should be careful. Like a man who's poor and then he makes a lot of money, he's very careful with that money. So why? I went through so much trouble to get this money. Krishna consciousness is not cheap, nor is it obtained cheaply. Be very careful. Now that we've got this opportunity, we should be careful. Maya is very dangerous. Mama Maya Durate. So we always have to be conscious. And Maya is so strong. We should be diligent. Good for us. Not to be complacent. Smug.
What is the best way to protect yourself from my edge?
Stay in the association of devotees. Chant Hare Krishna, associate with the devotees, read the book.
We are very fortunate today that we are having an association. So I was thinking if you'd be kind enough to benefit all of us, and we wanted to hear something from you about the 1813 that the association of devotees cannot be even compared to Swargam or the Grishan. But to say of material benediction, if you can kindly enlighten us, the benefit of association of the devotees and
Krishna. You get Krishna Bhakti, that's all. Not Purajana. Simply to get freedom from rebirth, as the Mayavadis do, is not the real business of life. The real business of life is devotional service to Krishna. What we get by the association of devotees. Association of karmis and jnanis that keeps us in miserable material existence. And the association of the impersonalists gets us free from the birth, but it doesn't put us in the devotional service. That's all. A wonderful little song.
Acknowledge we heard that impersonalists who want to just get one to free from.
Okay.
As you just mentioned that, but the impersonalists who just want to get free from birth and death, so they are not getting Krishna. They're only getting, they may get, but then the Bhagavatam explains they don't even get that. They don't get free from birth and death. They may go to Brahma Jyoti, but they have to fall down. So they are not even free from birth and death. So their process is incomplete.
Right.
So what is the best way to enlighten these people so they can take to Krishna consciousness?
We have. The best way is the way that we're doing. Chanting. Distributing books.
If it is the case, then how we can use the word liberation? For that kind of brahmachari, imagine brahmachari, how can we call liberation? Liberation means not to come, although they don't Krishna's devotion service, liberation means it must be the meaning for that, not to become back. And somebody say Krishna can give liberation, but not love of God. What kind of liberation?
Yeah.
No.
And what? Do it again.
My question is, if there is chance to come back again to fall down, how can we call that liberation?
No, that's still it's liberation. But it's not just like some satellite that gets beyond the field of gravity. So then it's liberated from gravity. But sooner or later it may again come within the gravitational field and then fall down. Okay. Okay.
describing the plant.
Is it 100% jars of their folder, or 99%?
What do you care?
somewhere I think Maharaj, I read in while reading that book.
You shoot for the 1%? They fall, that's all. Okay.
I think the point is that, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, that even the idea of not taking birth and death and going back to Godhead is not to get liberated from the birth and death, it is that we get to probably, you know, go and serve Krishna directly face to face and, you know, that can be with him in his own company. That is the goal of the metric. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I'm saying
is that attaining liberation is not the goal, in the sense that being free from birth and death. The ultimate objective is that going back to Godhead is not that we don't have to come back here, it is that we get the chance to serve the Lord directly.
Right, exactly.
But there's no
otherwise, even if we serve here, that's better than liberation.
That's what I'm saying, that's the ultimate objective.
Yeah.
We're missing the point in general, we're concentrating on the water, you know, the glass, not the water, when you're thirsty, that's what.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay, we can ask some more questions, or?
As long as I'm going, you can ask me a little more.
You just mentioned that the humility the key for the knowledge.
Mm.
And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has definitely put a lot of stress on the humility.
Mm.
So what is the best way to be humble and remain humble?
Just try to.
Association of Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. I just wanted you to share maybe one little point. We are not fortunate enough to be even around when he was around, so obviously you were always in constant association with him.
Yeah, I wasn't in constant association.
No?
Every now and then I'm super. Real association is by service. Even when Prabhupada was there. One time the press manager had an idea, we were in Boston. Prabhupada was from San Francisco, Bharati actually. He had the idea we could all get in a van, drive across the country, fix, be there for the Bharati actually, and be with Prabhupada. Association, that's it. Physical, then maybe.